Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wild Souls, Freedom and Flourishing in the Non-Human World by Emma Maris, narrated by Amy Landon. All Flourishing is Mutual. Robin Wall Kimmerer. 1. The Flight of the Akikiki. For my 40th birthday, I went to see Extinction in Paradise. On a clear, windy December day, I reported to a helicopter landing zone at Lihue Airport on the island of Kauai, where several ecologists in flight suits were waiting for a ride. Around us fluttered red-crested cardinals, striking birds with gray backs, white breasts, and cherry-colored faces and crests. These beautiful songbirds are native to South America. They were introduced to Hawaii in 1928, just one of more than 50 species of birds that have established themselves in the archipelago since humans arrived. In the lowlands, it is these newcomers who are most visible and numerous, as they flit among plants introduced from Brazil, Australia, Madagascar, and elsewhere. To see the original inhabitants, we must ascend into the mist-shrouded mountains. When the Hawaiian Islands were born in volcanic convulsions millions of years ago, there was no life on them. They were bare rock. Until the first humans arrived, quite recently in geologic terms, every species that lived on Hawaii could be traced to an ancestor that somehow made it there, across thousands of miles of ocean. All the birds were descended from about 27 species that flew, or were blown, to these islands in the distant past. Once they arrived, their offspring gradually evolved to eat new foods and thrive in their new habitat. The common raven made it to the islands and evolved into the smaller Hawaiian crow, or alala. Over time, a single species of honeycreeper gave rise to 47 different species. Back then, Hawaii lacked mosquitoes, so the birds stopped maintaining immunological defenses to the many diseases those insects carry. A red helicopter touched down, just briefly, and three ecologists clutching dry bags scrambled aboard. The pilot never even cut his engines, and they were off again into the sky. A car pulled up, and a small, curly-haired woman emerged, Lisa Callie Crampton, leader of the Kauai Forest Bird Recovery Project since 2010. She handed me a flight suit and zipped one up herself, looking very much like a determined military officer about to go on a special mission. In this case, her mission is saving several species of birds from the abyss of extinction. The helicopter returned and we scuttled over to it, hunched over, and hauled ourselves in. We lifted off and swung into the blue, fields and roads giving way to impossibly steep mountains draped in green foliage and shining with waterfalls. Next stop, Bird Camp. Humans discovered Hawaii during the golden age of Polynesian exploration, between 800 and 1,000 years ago. They brought a whole ecology with them, livestock, dogs, and plants for food, medicine, fiber, wood, and decoration. They also learned how to use local resources, including the beautiful feathers of birds like the bright red apapane. There were some extinctions when humans first came to Hawaii, but over time the people developed complex systems of land and sea management that allowed them to live sustainably on the islands at high densities. For example, bird catchers, known as kiamanu, were said to have trapped birds with bait and sticky sap and released them after plucking a few feathers. So it was not creating cloaks for royalty that pushed Kauai's forest birds to the edge of extinction. No, it was the mosquitoes and the viruses inside them that came with a British ship in 1826. "My birds have no immunity to introduced diseases," Crampton said. The Kauai Forest Bird Recovery Project is trying to save 8 different bird species, all hit hard by avian malaria, avian pox virus, habitat loss, and introduced pigs and rats. Populations of some native birds on Kauai are crashing so fast that their songs are disappearing. There aren't enough older birds to teach the younger birds the melodies. 2 species, the Akikiki and Akakee, are closest to extinction. The Akakee is greenish-yellow with a crisscross bill, which it uses to prod and poke buds of the bright red pom-pom flowers of the ohia tree in search of insects. It only lives in Kuke'i State Park and the Alakai Wilderness Preserve, where Bird Camp is located, and there are fewer than 1,000 individuals left. The Akikiki are tiny puffballs of white and gray, pink-billed and big-eyed. They eat invertebrates they find by pulling loose bits of bark off trees. There are fewer than 500 alive. These birds only survive high in the mountains, where it is too cold for mosquitoes to reproduce. But as the climate warms, the mosquitoes keep moving higher and higher. Mosquitoes have reached Bird Camp, but at the moment they are only here during the summer. The very slightly colder winter months are enough to kill them off. The birds get a reprieve, but that might not last for long. We hovered over what looked like an impenetrably thick jungle, and I thought, there's nowhere to land. Until at the last minute I saw a tiny clearing with a very small homemade wooden helicopter pad. We put down, and a second later the helicopter was away. Up this high, it was chilly. The air was filled with a fine mist, blurring the edges of everything. Ohia trees were covered in lichen and moss. We set out along a boardwalk that barely emerged from what seemed to be a bog. Everything was sopping wet. Crampton led me on a hike through the forest. We waded across a river while holding on to a guide rope, then headed upward on a twisty trail. Our goal was to check rat traps. Mosquitoes may not be up this high year-round, yet, but rats are, and they love to eat songbird eggs and chicks. Crampton said the area we were walking through was surrounded by a pig fence, since pigs consume fruiting shrubs that birds like the puayohi, a secretive thrush, depend on. The forest feels incredibly remote. Although we are, as the crow flies, about 10 miles from the town of Waimea, the terrain is so steep and trackless that the ecologists stationed here see no one else for weeks at a time, and all supplies come in by helicopter. Crampton is researching techniques to kill mosquitoes up here. She runs captive breeding efforts to create backup populations for some species. She's also looking at the possibility that the Akakei might have to be moved even higher up on the mountain. And she kills rats. As we hiked, grabbing onto volcanic rocks and vines for support, I asked Crampton how she keeps doing this work, given the not insignificant possibility that the birds she has devoted a decade to will go extinct. "Logistics," she answered. "Coordinating volunteers, raising funds, following the latest developments in mosquito control, designing experiments, writing papers. She keeps extremely busy." "We don't have time to get depressed," she said. We reached the first rat trap. Crampton is using the latest and greatest rat-killing technology, the Good Nature A24, invented in New Zealand. This $200 trap looks unlike any mouse trap you have ever seen. It is essentially a bolt gun, a tiny version of those used in commercial slaughterhouses to kill cattle, inside a baited plastic dome. The gun is powered by a canister of CO2, similar to those in home seltzer machines. The rodent smells the bait, Crampton uses chocolate-covered coconut, and pokes its head into the dome, triggering the gun, which instantly kills it. The rodents fall away, and the gun automatically resets itself. One of these traps can kill 24 animals before the CO2 canister is changed. I'd seen these traps in action before, most spectacularly while hiking along a knife-like mountain ridge a few days prior with Andre F. Rain, project coordinator of the Kauai Endangered Seabird Recovery Project. Rain's mission is very similar to Crampton's, except he focuses on seagoing birds, such as Hawaiian petrels, called ua'u in Hawaiian after their call, and Newell's shearwaters, also known as a'o. En route to get the camera cards out of some burrows he was monitoring, we found a good-nature trap, surrounded by a penumbra of rat corpses in varying states of decay, at least 7 by my count. All that was left of one was a gleaming white spine attached to the rat's hairless tail. "None of it is nice," Rain said, poking at a rat corpse with his boot. "It is a messy, horrible business. But what happens to these birds is also appalling." His birds don't breed until they are 5.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?